Commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Commandment number 4, while we are here today, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Commandment number 5, you shall do what? Honor your father and who? And your mother. Commandment number 6, you shall not murder. Commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Commandment number 8, you shall not steal. Commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And commandment number 10, you should not covet or take upon yourself anything that belongs to your neighbor, to include his wife. Some overlap in commandment number 10 there. We said that before God even gives his 10 commandments, right there in the preface, the qualifying sentence of the 10 commandments, God says something that we often don't key in on, and that is, he says that I am God who spoke these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Without this particular phrase, these are just rules without relationship. Before God gives any rules, any commandments, the first thing that he does is remind us that he has already established a relationship with his people. When you separate relationship from rules, you just have laws that will not be obeyed. Just a cross that is burdensome to the people. But once we study what these things really mean, it is a connection to God himself. These rules or these laws or these commandments are not burdensome because we know that we love God and that he loves us. God says that he reminds us, I am the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Maybe if he were speaking today, he would tell some of us that I am the God who delivered you from North Avenue out of the crack house. Come on now, somebody. I am the God who delivered you from that house that you could not afford, and now you can stand up straight. Come on now. I am the God who provided food for you when your cupboards were empty during the midst of a recession, right in the middle of a furlough. That's what God does. God makes it clear that I am a God. I am a God who has a relationship with you. Here at Edmondson Heights Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have established a relationship. Relationship with our members, relationship with the community that is around us. The rules that we have here in God's house are not rules that are separate from relationship, but they come in tandem, together, combination with relationships. So it was yesterday that we introduced to you 10 commandments for 2019 for Edmondson Heights Seventh-day Adventist Church. These are 10 new commandments. Maybe you have never heard them before. Commandment number 1 for the members of this church, thou shalt treat Sabbath dinner with courtesy. Come on now, we talked about that yesterday. All this yelling and acting crazy downstairs, huh? We're going to treat Sabbath dinner with what, everybody? With courtesy. Commandment number 2, thou shalt not have meetings following divine hour, divine worship. We talked about this yesterday. As soon as I say amen, when the service ends, we got about 7 people that run up to the mic and say, all right, we need all the deaconess to meet for just about 10 minutes. Lies. Pathfinders, parents of Pathfinders, we need to speak for you for 2 minutes. It ends up being 30. That's another lie in the house of God. Men, we need you to go over to the educational wing so we can briefly, that's another lie. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to enjoy Sabbath dinner. We're not going to have meetings right after church service. We're going to enjoy one another. Commandment number 3, thou shalt wait 20 minutes, allow 20 minutes following service before you come up and start playing on the instruments. This is some housekeeping things here. We know our children, they love to play instruments, especially those with a trained hand. But while the word of God is lingering and we're still enjoying ourselves, just allow 20 minutes for this thing to calm down before the children run up on stage and do. Commandment number four, thou shalt not send minors to the restrooms alone. I know there's some visitors who are here with us. Bear with me for a second. We're going to get to God's word. You'll get something to take home. You should not do that. It is dangerous to do that. Our church is open to the community. And while we love everybody who comes in, not all y'all are sanctified. We have to protect the most vulnerable members of our congregation, especially in the restrooms and other isolated areas of our building. Don't send your child alone. If your child goes out somewhere alone, don't get upset when the ushers grab them and bring them back to you. Get your lazy hips up and walk them to the restroom. I know it's been a long week. I got three of them of my own lineage. I know exactly what you're going through. It's a whole lot. You want a break, but you shall not take your break here during that time. Take them to the restroom so that everything will be okay. Commandment number five, thou shalt support Edmondson with regular attendance. Regular attendance. Regular attendance. We read right from the book of Luke in chapter 4, where Jesus makes it clear that he was in the synagogue on a weekly basis. That was his custom. Amen. Jesus went to church every week. It doesn't matter how cold it is outside. It doesn't matter if it rained on Friday. People don't need much of an excuse, elders, not to show up to church. Huh? Make preparations to be here on Sabbath. Amen. You need that, and somebody needs you to be here. They need your testimony. Now, this is not in contradiction, but this is a supplement commandment to number five. Commandment number six, thou shalt plan time away from Edmondson for a break. For a break. Nobody ever said that you got to be here 52 weeks out of a year. Nobody ever said that. Take a break during that. Take a break sometime. Now, a vacation means that you vacate and then you come back home. You leave for a season, then you come back. It recharges you. You can see some other faces. Maybe if you're angry with the members, I know you would never be angry with me, but maybe if you're angry, maybe if you're angry with one of your fellow church members and you need a little break, take a couple weeks, a couple weeks. A couple means two, amen? A couple means two. And then make your way on back home. Thou shalt pick up litter. Litter, that's trash. Baltimore has a whole lot of trash. Maryland has a whole lot of trash. How dare you, sir or ma'am, come to worship in the house of God and step over bags and step over bottles and then come up in here to worship God? You better pick that trash up so that the community knows that we care about them and that we love them and that we care about this building and that it is a place that is worthwhile for everybody to be. If we don't treat this place right, then the community won't think that it is worthy of them to come in here. You hear what I'm saying, right? It's a simple thing that we talked about. Caring for the house of God. Commandment number eight. Thou shalt treat visitors better than members. Amen. This is not a country club. This is not an elite group. We don't reach over visitors in order to greet faces whom we know. We treat guests as if they are royalty here at Edmondson. Amen. The only thing that we have going for us, we went into details last night. I won't do it here today. But I'll tell you, the only thing that Edmondson has going for it is the Word of God. And in addition to the Word of God, is that we are a family-oriented, friendly church. If we can't boast of that, then there's no reason for the people to be here. Thou shalt leave public chastising to the pastor or other designated persons. Look, you don't have to come up here blessing nobody out. You don't have to be up here yelling at people about reverence in the sanctuary. You don't have to be jacking nobody's kids up. You don't have to speak mean and nasty to nobody. That's my job, and I do it very well. Okay? So to pull the burden off your shoulders, if you see something that's just getting under your skin, just let me know. We testified last night. When y'all call, I pick up. And if I don't pick up right away, and I'm talking about people who call ungodly hours of the night, call about emergencies, not abusing the thing, not abusing the number. They call. And when people call, I take this job serious. I pick up. When you email, I answer back to tell you, we talk in dialogue, what's going on? An excuse is never that you can't reach me. Take it easy. Treat each other with love. Don't bless nobody out. Amen. And last but not least, commandment number 10. Thou shalt not abuse announcement time. Say what you need to say and go sit down, sir or ma'am. What you have to say is not all that important. Summarize it in a sentence or two. Share it and then go sit down. Now, if I can preach a sermon in 15 minutes and 20 minutes, sometime in 5 minutes and 10 minutes, surely you can give your announcements and go ahead and have a seat. Those are the Ten Commandments that we talked about. Now we're caught up. We got a couple of minutes left. We're going to preach the Word of God, and then we're gonna get up out of here. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you would cover every last leader who serves the Edmondson Heights Seventh-day Adventist Church by the power of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Turn with me once more to the book of Luke, chapter 5. We're going to do this quick here today. In the interest of time, we will forego our PowerPoint. We'll look at Luke chapter 5, verses 37 to 39. Luke chapter 5, verses 37 to 39. There, this is Jesus who's speaking. This is Jesus. Jesus is talking about wine, ladies and gentlemen. He's talking about wine. He says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst, and a wineskin will be spilt, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be what? Put into new wineskins, and both will be what? Preserved. But no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says, The old is better. The old is better. This is Jesus talking about wine here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, and I will say that the Seventh-day Adventist Church does not advocate for the drinking of wine. But Jesus is now taking the gospel, and he's bringing it down to the level where people can understand. That's what Jesus always does. Jesus always takes this elevated, pure gospel that he has brought here to earth, and he puts it in terminology that people can understand. The reason why Jesus is talking about wine is because the disciples know a whole lot about drinking. Oh, y'all gonna act like y'all don't know here today. The disciples know about drinking. Now, we can act all high and mighty here if we want to, but some of us here in this place know a little bit about wine also. Jesus uses this analogy about wine, and he says that when wine gets old, it has a tendency to belch. It creates gas. It expands, if you will. During the time of Jesus Christ, wine was poured into something that was known as a wine skin. Now, a wine skin could be goat skin that had been sewn together to make a bag. So that now it could contain water or any other liquid, and it would not spill out. Or sometimes they would even take a bladder of a cow or of a goat or of a sheep, and they would use this skin to pour liquid into, and there it would be preserved for a long period of time. So Jesus classifies wine into two categories. He says that there's new wine and there is old wine. He says that if you pour new wine into new wineskins, as both the wineskin and the wine age, they can grow together. The skin will expand because it can make room. It still has some elasticity to it. It will expand and it will not break. But if you attempt now to take old wineskins that have been beat down on by the evening sun and that have been laid out in a wine press for a number of years, and you take that and it is no longer capable of expanding, and you pour new wine into it, when that wine begins to expand, what's going to happen? The bag is going to burst. Now, Jesus uses this to talk about the traditions of men. Jesus says that the traditions of men is the same as old wineskins. Tradition is not able to grow. It's not able to expand. Therefore, when you pour the new sweet spirit of the new wine of God into it, once you pour it into that old vessel, it's going to break and you're going to destroy the old wineskin and the new wine. Are you following me here today? So Jesus says that in order for you to move forward in your faith, you've got to throw out your old traditions and make room for the new sweet wine of the gospel. In order for something new to happen to you and happen for you, you've got to get rid of the old stuff. Y'all not hearing me here today. In order for you to experience the new thing that God has for you, sometimes you've got to throw out the old stuff that you have. Jesus goes on to say that nobody who's been sipping on old wine for a while is going to say that new wine tastes better. If you go up to a drunk man out on Edmondson Avenue, hopefully it ain't my deacons or deaconess, as we read today from Acts and 1 Timothy. If they're out there on Edmondson Avenue and they're staggering drunk because they have been drinking, what type of wine? Old wine. And then you walk up to them and you say, I got something for you. I want you to sip on this grape juice. They are liable to spit that stuff right back out in your face because their taste buds are used to the old wine. People who have become drunk on the traditions of the church, it is hard for them now to sip on the new wine of Jesus Christ. They've got to get the taste of the old wine out of their mouth before they can make way for new wine. The reason why we hate new leadership in the church is because we've been sipping on the old leadership for far too long. The reason why we can't accept certain types of singing, certain types of preaching, certain types of ministries is because we have tasted the old stuff for far too long. Got to get that taste out of your mouth. And let me say, because maybe you think I'm being a little bit too judgmental today, nobody hates change more than I do. I hate it. I hate it. You should know, ladies and gentlemen, that I have put a moratorium on purchasing suits because when I go to buy my suit at some cheap place, I noticed that I was buying the same suit over and over again. Some of you have asked me, why is it that you wear navy blue every week? Well, navy blue is my favorite color. And I feel the need to wear it every week. So I have about 8 suits that are all navy blue. So you might think I'm wearing the same thing over and over again. It's because I like what I like and I don't like to change. I eat the same thing for breakfast, and if my wife would allow me, I would eat the same thing for dinner. I get up the same time in the morning. I go to sleep during the same time at night. I do not like change, and church people don't like change either. You know, the world doesn't like change either. We know that the world does not like change because it is now in a shock to us that Sears Roebuck Foundation, you would know that they just recently escaped foreclosure through bankruptcy. Now, where there was once 3,000 stores all around the United States, now there are just 400 of those stores that remain. Once upon a time, there were the big three. Name them. You remember. There was JCPenney, there was Montgomery Ward's, and there was Sears, right? All around Baltimore, those things could be found. Now, those of you who have been around the block just a little bit, you know that there was something that set Sears apart, and that was at least once a year, you would receive in your mail right around Christmas time the Sears catalog. During the time in which they started, the Sears catalog was the most innovative thing that the world had ever seen. It was through the Sears catalog that someone who was in Milwaukee could order something down in Texas, and that inventory would not have to be in the state of Wisconsin. It was something that the world had never seen before. They were putting businesses out of business left and right. But now Sears is filing for bankruptcy, and they are about to go upside down, not turning a profit since the year 2010, and it is because of their refusal to change. The reason why they are now dying is because when the world kept telling them, we want to see your inventory online, they still kept sending out catalogs to people. They still kept giving people what they did not need. Edmondson Heights will die if we don't change. It will die. It'll be on a laundry list of businesses that have been murdered and massacred by Amazon, online shopping, and the demon of convenience. If you don't believe it, go outside and try to find a store that specializes in selling toys. They no longer exist. You got to do that online now. Got to do it online. People can't stand change. Every state, every church is in one of three stages of change. One, stage one is that a church is resistant to change. Stage two is a church doesn't quite like it, but they are tolerant of change. And then lastly but not least, when they're about to die, most churches will embrace change, but they have embraced it far too late. Resistance, tolerant, embrace. I believe that Edmondson is now in a position where we are embracing change. I'll close now with this story. Before that, let me give you some more scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 says, There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. What is Solomon saying here? That the same way that the seasons change, this is the same way that the church must change, that God's people change. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I am making a way for you in the midst of the wilderness, a stream in the middle of a wasteland. Today, our focus point. Christ is an advocate of change. Christ is an advocate of change. Closing story. I'll end with this. There was a man who spent the majority of his life in the hills of Tennessee. And so you can very easily see how he was taken back when for the first time he visited the city of Chicago. He had never seen these multi-story buildings. He had never seen all of these windows on one building. And as he went inside of the Sears building, he stood, and as he looked up, he saw this grandiose lobby made out of marble and all sorts of precious stones. There at the far end of the lobby, he noticed a closet door opened and it closed. Making its way to this closet door, once it binged and it opened, was an elderly woman. She had a cane, she had a big bag, and she was barely moving. She inched her way towards this closet. She stood there for a moment as numbers were descending, and when it got to one, the doors opened. She stepped inside, and the doors closed. Not understanding exactly what was going on, just a moment later, the doors opened again, and this time standing there was a very young, beautiful woman. It was now that this 70-year-old man said to his young son, "Billy, quick, go get your mother." I know most of you won't get it. Change is not a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen. Change, according to the word of God, is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. God has ordained change. We will still keep the word of God, but our methodology must change in reaching people. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Please cover each and every individual. Help us to realize that with change, with the moving of seasons, we must change. We must make incremental changes in our lives, both big and small. Now to the person who has been resisting, Help them to realize today that you are always with us no matter where we are. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.